The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Please. Sure seemed like good news. That pesky, troublemaking, itinerant preacher who was making waves up in the backwater of Galilee, but who then brought his road show to Jerusalem, was causing trouble. He was a threat to the religious establishment. He was stirring up the people, getting their hopes up, and worst of all, questioning the authority of those who were in charge of the temple, who were in charge of making sure that the Jewish people continued to worship the way they were supposed to and continued to do the things, and also to make sure that there weren't too many waves so that the Roman authorities would get concerned. It seemed like good news that they'd gotten rid of this guy. And the Romans, it seemed like good news to them. Pontius Pilate always got worried around the Passover because Jerusalem just swelled with all the pilgrims that came in to observe the Passover feast there. And there were always rumblings about a Jewish revolt and all this talk about a Messiah. So Pontius Pilate, they built their barracks right there by the temple grounds so that if anything happened, they could rush in and squash it. And sure enough, there was this big parade on Sunday, and there's all these rumblings, and this guy named Jesus seemed to be at the heart of it. It seemed like good news that they could just dispose of him like they had disposed of all the people who had dared crossed the Roman Empire. Yeah, they put him on a cross and made an example of him. Fear works. Sure seemed like good news that things were back to normal. But it sure seemed like bad news to Jesus' disciples. These fishermen, tax collectors, farmers, ordinary folk whom Jesus had gathered together, who had called them to follow him, invited them into a way of life. And this rabbi seemed to be so clear. Every word was golden. It opened up their scriptures in ways that they hadn't realized. They knew this man was of God, and they were going to follow him because they too had been waiting for the Messiah, the one who would come in and cast off the Roman shackles and restore Israel, the people of Israel, to the place that they deserved and that God wanted them to fulfill in the world. Those 12, plus the women that supported them, plus all those people, the people that he had touched and healed, the people who, when he said, blessed are the poor, they believed it. Blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the weak, blessed are those that society says aren't worth anything. They believed it. This man, Jesus, this rabbi, even dared talk to tax collectors and those Samaritans, those people that were unclean, those people that were on the outs, the people that knew that society didn't want them. Jesus gave them hope. And it was just not bad news, but the worst news that the Romans could do a show trial and just put him to death. But then the tomb was empty. And the women came back and started talking about how he had risen. There were men there that told him. And later on we hear Mary Magdalene actually sees him. And word started spreading. This wasn't just good news. This was great news. Their hope had not been misplaced. Their hope for the kingdom of God to be at work in the world, even though they didn't know what it really looked like. They thought it was going to look like a military victory over Rome. But then as they thought about Jesus' teaching, they realized the kingdom of God was much bigger than that, much more powerful. And that, yeah, when Jesus proclaiming this kingdom, this new way of living, this way of living that raised up the poor, that raised up the weak, that reached out to those whom society says are worth nothing, and brought healing and wholeness and community and hope and life and possibility. This had not been killed. All the forces of the Roman Empire, all the strategies and rules and laws that the religious leaders could throw at them, they could not kill the kingdom of God. This is not just good news. This is great news. And it set them on fire because their hope had not been misplaced. Now, it seems like that might be bad news for those that are in power, for those religious leaders, for those like Pontius Pilate, who are used to having control. Even for those who have a lot of money, this seems like bad news. If there's a kingdom unleashed in the world that is about reversing all that, about, instead of talking about power over, talking about power with, instead of talking about how the way to life is not accumulating more and more riches or more and more power or more and more fame or more and more anything, but it's about love. It's about kindness, about forgiveness. It's about service. This could really seem like bad news. But it is good news for those people too. Because all of those things, be it power, be it control, be it wealth, be it fame, be it health, anything, when we are driven by that and relying on that to give us life, underneath it all is a fear of losing control, fear of losing our security, fear of losing our health, fear of losing. The good news for those people is that they can be free from that. They also can be part of the kingdom power, the resurrection power of Christ, to recognize that life doesn't abound simply because you add more zeros to your net worth. Life doesn't abound simply because you add more zeros to your Twitter followers. Life abounds when one risks to love and not to give in to the fear, when one risks to reach out to those that are poor and oppressed. That's when the kingdom reaches its fullness. That's when people experience true life, life abundant, life indeed. It is good news. It was good news for those in power, good news for whom society works. It was good news then, and it's good news now. But come on, Pastor. That was 2,000 years ago. This isn't the kingdom of God. After I got here this morning, I found out that over 200 people had been killed in Sri Lanka because of bombings of churches and hotels there. There's so much violence unleashed in the world. This cardboard extravaganza we have up here points to how on Palm Sunday, the voices were raised in excitement, but then by Friday, they were quashed through the power of fear, through the power of insinuation, gossip, threats. The people were silent so that the Son of God, the one whom God had become flesh in, was put to death by those that wanted to kill, but also by those that were afraid and sat there silent and mute and let it happen. The forces of sin and evil are so strong. What is the good news for us today? The good news is that violence, the powers of this world, cannot kill the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God continues to be at work in the world. The Spirit of God continues to move. Since that moment, that Easter morning when they found the tomb empty, there's been a movement on earth. a movement about love and peace, a movement where people gather once a week to reconnect, to remember that they're children of God, and to hear the scriptures and tell the stories and remind them of the power, how God became human, walked and talked and preached and invited us into a way of life that is truly life, and how he was killed for it, but that tomb couldn't hold him. Yeah, they gather and they hear those stories. And they say prayers like, "Your kingdom come. Your will be done." And to live as generous people who share and serve. And even recognize that when they fall short, there's a God that loves and forgives them. And they ask for the ability not only to accept that forgiveness, but to forgive others. What a crazy idea. What a crazy idea. That's a show of weakness, isn't it? Somebody does you wrong and you don't get back at them? Yeah, these crazy people gather and ask for the ability to love their spouses, their children, to forgive their brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers, to forgive their neighbors, to forgive their coworkers, to forgive those other drivers out there that are idiots, and even to forgive their enemies. Crazy people gather once a week, and they acknowledge that there are times that they don't focus on God, that they also seek after that security, after that money, after that wealth, even after the pleasures, all those things. And when they recognize that they've drifted off course, they come back and they say, "We have sinned. God, we want to serve you. We want to love only you." And they continuously choose not to give in to the impulse to diminish other people's lives. Of course, not kill them, but not even in any way to knock them down, to get back at them. They train themselves to not to be looking for things that they can get from other people, but to look for ways that they can serve. They choose to be honorable and righteous in their relationships, speaking honestly and truthfully, practicing forgiving, and catching themselves when they also want to drift off course, and resisting and praying for help to not get jealous, to not covet and envy and chase after all those other things. This people gathers over and over around a font to remember that they are children of God. They gather around a table and they share a meal so that they can once again get connected with each other, with their God, and with all the people throughout the ages who also have chosen to believe, that have been convicted, who have been saved from their lives that they would live, so that they may live a life that is new, a life that is full, a life that is service, a life that is love, a life that does not give in to fear. They stupidly trust that the power of life is stronger than the power of fear. These people are the church. These people are the ones who continue to have the kingdom of God be alive in them, around them, and through them. These people trust in that resurrection power. They believe that that kingdom cannot be killed. They continue to live and love and serve wherever they are because he is risen. He is risen indeed. He is risen. He has risen indeed. He has risen. He has risen indeed. Alleluia. Alleluia.